So like Ralph Cramden's raccoons, I don't know if you remember Ralph Cramden. Anybody remember the Honeymooners?
Yeah.
Remember Ralph Cramden? He would wear that raccoon hat. They'd do that little thing, and whatever that noise was. Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble, they had the water buffaloes, remember? So here's a little hint. This organization is a men's only club, although women started to get in and they started something, but it's technically a men's only club. It began with a group of stone workers, believe it or not, masons, who shared their secrets or the secrets of their craft with other masons. It was known back then that sometimes they weren't able to stay home and they would have to travel, so they would share their work with one another. It remained and still remains a secret society using secret symbols, secret oaths, and secret rituals. They are the largest secret society in the world, with an estimated 3 million members, including 1 million right here in the United States. They are known under a variety of names: the Craft, the Brotherhood, the Order, the Fraternal Order. Because of their strong opposition to Roman Catholicism, some of America's founding fathers joined this organization because they were told that it is an anti-Catholic secret society. And when the truth came out, then some of them went away from that. The first official lodge goes back to London in 1717. Any guesses who they are?
Freemasons.
A plus. You get a bonus. I don't know what. There's a Mercedes outside waiting for you. I'm not saying it's yours. I'm just saying it's a Mercedes outside. Freemasons or Masons, as you know, they're dressed up and how they dress up. And as you know, we're going through this series called Another Jesus. The Apostle Paul talked about another Jesus that was going to be preached with a different spirit, another spirit, and a different gospel. I hope you've gotten 2 Corinthians 11:4 down. We're seeing it over and over every single week. But there is another Jesus that brings another spirit and another gospel that's out there. And today we're going to be talking about the Jesus of Freemasonry. Amen. So if you could stand with me again, we're just going to pray. Father, we thank you so much for thy word. We thank you that you are here. Where two or more are gathered in your presence, you are here. And Father, we want to honor you. We want to bless you. Lord God, we want to continue to worship you in spirit and in truth. We want your Holy Spirit to take absolute control of us in this service. We ask you to teach us by your Spirit. Lord God, put something down deep within our heart that we can walk away with today, that we will be nourished and fed and walk away with knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior in the Scriptures. God, we thank you for salvation. We thank you for this day, and we thank you for the truth of God that sets us free. And Lord, we give you this service again and again and again. We offer our bodies as a living sacrifice unto you. We ask, Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. It was almost on a weekly basis in my hometown that I would pass this structure. And I would look at it, and I would always wonder what this building was all about. And I'd read Masonic Lodge on top of it, and I'd see that sign, that, you know, compass. And I was wondering, with the G in there, and I thought, what in the world is this building all about? And then I would see people coming up to the second floor, because it was always on the second floor, and they would shake hands with somebody. They wore these hats sometimes, and I thought, this is crazy stuff. I was like wondering what's going on. And I thought it was satanic, you know, these rituals that are going on. I just kept passing it, wondering what it was all about. And there's a pastor named Jim Nations. He's part of the Jimmy Swaggart Ministry, Francis and Friends. He's a distinguished panel member there. He was a former Mason. Now he's a pastor. And he talked a little bit about the lodge itself. He said the basic unit of Freemasonry is the lodge, which exists under a charter issued by the Grand Lodge exercising administrative powers. The lodges are linked together informally by a system of mutual recognition between the lodges that meet the Masonic requirements. The Blue Lodge, that's the local lodge, confers 3 degrees. So if a person wants to get initiated into a local lodge, this local lodge will give you 3 degrees. You can, you know, kind of move up in the ranks. There's the Entered Apprentice, Fellow Craft, and the Master Mason. Master Mason, that's a biggie. When you get to that place of Master Mason there, you can go higher, but you have to go outside of the local one. Additional degrees are conferred by two groups of advanced masonry. That's the York Rite, which awards 12 degrees, and then the Scottish Rite, which awards 29, and actually goes up to 33 degrees. So if you're a 33rd degree Mason, you're big time. You're the Pope, you know? You're big league. But he goes on to say that all Masonic lodges are built due east. They are built after replicating the Temple of Solomon. They're built due east and west. It is common knowledge among Masons that the Masonic Lodge must be elevated at least to the second floor above the ground unless they have acquired special permission from the Grand Lodge. And why on the second? It is part of the ritual that is said to keep the Cohens, that is those who are not Freemasons, and eavesdroppers from hearing what's going on inside. I never knew that. But it's on the second floor, and the reason why it's on the second floor is they want to make sure that nobody who's not a Freemason eavesdrops on what happens inside. That doesn't sound so nice, does it? Then I found out also they put curtains on the window so you can't see what's going on inside. Boy, oh boy, that's interesting. In every lodge, there are officers. And there's one particular man, kind of like a pastor, if you will, of the lodge. And he's referred to by the title, Worshipful Master. I never knew that, did you? So the quote-unquote pastor, if you will, of this lodge, he's got the title Worshipful Master. Somebody say Master. So I looked in my own town. There's this young kid. I don't know him, Brian. He's the Worshipful Master of this lodge. I went to Bayonne, Norman Bonanno. I know a Bonanno. Anyway, he's in Bayonne. He's the Worshipful Master there. And then there's one also in Highbridge. He's the wrong name I put there, but it's another one in Highbridge. There's a number of them throughout New Jersey, and I thought this is really interesting, and they have this name, Worshipful Master. And of course, just like the AG has the general superintendent, you know, over here, the district superintendent, well, the lodge has one guy who's over all the presiding lodges, and he is the most worshipful Grand Master of Masons of the state of New Jersey. That's Robert Monticelli. I'm not saying that Italians run this, but there's a lot of Italians in this. I was like, wow, pretty cool. But listen to this. Pastor Nations goes on to say this about the Worshipful Master. All Masonic lodges are built due east and west, and it is arranged this way so that the Worshipful Master can sit in the east. Remember when Jews are to pray, they're to face east. Interesting. There is the junior warden who sits in the south side of the lodge because it represents where the sun is at noon. There's also the senior warden who sits in the west end of the lodge because that is where the sun sets in the west. So right away, there is this combination of Old Testament and Baal worship that they're putting together, the worship of the sun, and this grand poobah, this guy, this worshipful master, has to sit in a chair due east. Now listen to this. The worshipful master sits in the east in a fancy chair like a throne with the letter G above his head. Do you see that picture? The Freemason is told that one of the meanings of the letter G is Gnosis, but the other is God. So now we know, we're getting little hints about when you come into this place and when you come into the lodge, you are actually coming into a place that is pagan, if you will, because there's a combination of both the Old Testament and then you've got some Baal worship going on, and it's going to get worse. And then you've got this guy who's sitting in the chair who's looking like a throne with a big G on the top of his head. And when you are initiated into the lodge, do you know that one of the things you have to do when you become a master mason is you have to kneel before the worshipful master? I never knew that. This is what goes on inside the lodge. When you want to get to that place of Master Mason, and the other thing too is they blindfold you, then they bring you into this room, that you're in a dark place, they open up the door, and you come into this room that's filled with light, and they ask the person, the one who wants to come into further and wants to become a Master Mason, what is it that you seek? And the person says, we seek the light. We seek more light. And then they bring them before this master, this worshipful master. They have him kneel down. He exposes part of his chest right here. They take a dagger. They put it to his heart. And they have him pledge a death oath. And if he has to promise that whatever is done inside the lodge remains quiet and does not go outside the lodge. I found this interesting, too, that once you become part of the brotherhood, you have to back up your brother. Even if it's murder charges, you have to go and testify to his innocence. Yeah, deep stuff, huh? Jesus said, don't let people put you on a pedestal. He said, and call no man father upon the earth. In other words, with a title of absolute reverence, we are supposed to call our moms and dads mom and dad. Don't get that misunderstanding. But as a title of reverence, you know, the Catholic Church, Papa, Father? Yeah, no, Jesus says, don't do that. That's what he says, not what I say, what he says. For there is but one Father who is in heaven, one authority figure in heaven, Abba, Father. When you pray, say, Father, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And Jesus goes on and says, do not be called masters, worshipful master. Not according to Jesus. For one is your master, that's Messiah. Do you want to stand out? Then step down. I love that. Do you really want to step up and out? Then step down. Humble yourself. Remember Jesus in John chapter 13? He went to his disciples and he got a basin of water and he wrapped a towel around him and he knelt down and he began to wash his disciples' feet. If you want to really stand up, then you need to kneel down. Amen. You need to be humble. Not get a grand poobah position. Not sit in a chair with a big G over your head. That's not what God wants for you. Be a servant. If you puff yourself up, you'll get the wind knocked out of you. But if you're really content to simply be yourself, you'll have a plentiful life as being humble. There's only one person that I bow down to, and I pray there's only one person that you bow down to. He is the worshipful master. He is wonderful, counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. He's the one we bow down to. Why do we bow down? Because he says all authority, all power, all absolute rule in heaven and earth, it's given unto me. Hallelujah. Jesus. Oh, somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's just a little bit about what happens at the lodge and goes on in the lodge. But what do they believe? What is it that Freemasons actually believe? Well, I went to the Bayonne website, Bayonne, New Jersey. And I read there what they had to say and what they believe. This is on their website. They say, Freemasonry is not a religion, a political organization, or a social club. It interfaces with none of these, but has for its foundation the basic principles of the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. It believes in a supreme being, the immortality of the soul, and that the Holy Bible is the inestimable gift of God to man as a rule and guide for his faith and practice. It is a fraternity of brotherhood pledged to the building of character, thoughts, words, motives, and deeds being the materials used. Freemasonry strives to teach man the duty he owes to God, his country, his neighbor, and himself. That sounds really good. And you look at these commercials, it's teaching men. We want men. We're trying to teach men how to be men. That's what they say on the outside. And notice they say it's not a religion. Did you get that? It's not a religion. It believes in a supreme being. The Holy Bible is the inestimable gift of God to man as a rule and guide for his faith and practice. What's interesting about that is a 33rd degree Mason who's now passed Henry Wilson Coyle. He has a book out, The Comprehensive History of Freemasonry. He wrote this. This is what Freemasons go by, this comprehensive book. And you know what he says? He's a well-respected 33-degree Masonic authority. He says Freemasonry, in its broadest and most comprehensive sense, is a system of morality and social ethics. What does it say? A primitive religion. Wait, the Bayonne site says we are not a religion. And here in their own books, they're saying, well, we're a primitive religion and a philosophy of life incorporating a broad humanitarianism. It is a religion without creed, being of no sect, but finding truth in all. Now listen to this. It seeks truth, but does not define truth. Exactly. Exactly. Thank you, sister. Like what? Question mark. What? What? So you read this book and you're thinking, this is a 33rd degree Mason. Oh, I forgot to tell you also, basically when you come into the initiation rite, right, you're basically, I hate to use this word, but you're ignorant. When you walk into that place, their own books reveal that we will not reveal the truth unto you until you become a master Mason or above that. So basically you're left in the dark. They will not tell you the truth. Oh, and here it seeks the truth, but it does not define the truth. How bizarre is that? And this guy is saying that it's a religion. So you have the Bayonne site, which says Freemasonry is not a religion. And then you have this 33 degree Mason authority in his book telling people it's a primitive religion. But so why the contradiction? That sounds so absurd. Well, I'll tell you why the contradiction. Listen to this from another authoritative Masonic, you know, person, 33 degree Masonic leader, right? Henry Wilson Coyle, he says this, nobody knows, I can't even read it, nobody knows what Freemasonry is. So a person is, what's Freemasonry? Well, according to your authorities, we don't know. Oh, thanks, I want to join up. Where do I fill the papers out? Or if that statement is deemed too strong, at least no one has been able to demonstrate that he knows the master, the answer to that question. Now listen, what one Mason or Masonic authority asserts, another of equal ability doubts or denies. Nor is this divergence of opinion due to ignorance or a lack of investigation. The fraternity has no central authority to declare its creeds, no single book to get its dogma or teaching, and no censor of books to check aberrations or mistakes. Listen. What he's saying in this comment, basically, is that we don't have a single authoritative book that we go to. No guide, no principle. Well, that right there contradicts exactly what the other guy just said in Bayonne, because he said the Holy Bible is our guide for practice and what we're supposed to do. That's exactly what the Bayonne one says. So one person is saying, you know what? We don't know. We don't have a single book. And yet there's another authority saying, you know what? The Bible is the inestimable gift of God to men as a rule and, you get the word, guide for his faith and practice. So which one is it? Already we have another contradiction. And this is what you find in the Freemasonry. It's one contradiction after another, one lie after another, one secret after another secret. Don't go there. Amen? Why the contradiction? Listen, this is why. This is why they have so many contradictions. On another Masonic Lodge of Education, in the United States, they say most lodges use the Christian Holy Bible. That sounds nice, doesn't it? Sounds religious. They use the Christian Holy Bible. However, somebody say however.
However.
Listen to that. We use the Christian Bible, however. When you hear that, you run from something like that. We use the Bible, but. No Bible, but. We use the Bible, plus. No, there's only the Bible. But let's go on. If you are of another religion, you may request that your sacred holy book, whether it's the Torah, the Vita, the Quran, etc., be placed beside the Bible during lodge meetings. Some lodges have several sacred books to accommodate different religions. You see what's happening inside the lodge? You see why they want the windows shut? You see why they put the masks on, all this secrecy? They are basically saying, come on in, all of you. This is paving the way for a one world religion that is told it's going to happen in the future. The devil is going to rise up, the Antichrist is going to rise up, and there is going to be a one world religion. And this is basically paving the way for the one world religion. We'll accept you, whoever you are. Come on in. Bring your Holy Bible. But you know what? Bring your Quran in, bring your Vita in, bring all your sacred books, and we'll put it next to the Holy Bible. Sacrilege. Sacrilege. Look at, you could just take your, whatever you want, and just put it next to the Bible. That's kind of like this sign right here. Let's coexist. We can all get together. We can all love one another. But you know what? Jesus, he's a radical God. He is a jealous God, and when we come to him, he wants us to separate. When you are a holy child of God, it's talking about come out of her from Babylon. That's what Jesus talks about. Come away from this world system. He doesn't want us to be a part of the world. We are different. We are particular people, a peculiar people, even the Bible says. We are called to holiness. We are of this world, but not in this, or in this world, but not of this world. We are supposed to be different. And when we come alongside somebody else who worships a Muslim or Allah and all this kind of stuff, and we say, you're my brother? No. That's not how it works. God calls us to be separate. Now, let me tell you something. I'm not saying don't associate with people. How else would you get them saved? But God does not want you to be a partaker of the evil. You can't drink at the table of the Lord and eat the table of from the Lord and then go and eat at the table of the devil as well. Paul warned against that. The Bible is unique in that it records the word of God given by God. No other book is written by the God of all creation. That's what makes the Bible unique. The Bible is God-breathed, the Holy Spirit-inspired, and the only book that provides all the answers to all the questions that you and I have. Why are we here? Who is God? What is my purpose in life? Why is there death? Why is there suffering? Is there something that's going to happen after I die? God's Word provides every answer for you. Not Krishna, not Buddha, not Islam, not Muhammad, not the Quran. Only in the Word of God will you find life and happiness and joy. No other book has the unity and accuracy of the Bible. It is simple enough for a child to read and deep and rich enough for the most learned of scholars. The Bible is the only book that provides the absolute standard of truth, morality, and ethics. It is inerrant, inspired, infallible. It contains prophecies that have been perfectly fulfilled and others yet to be fulfilled. When you look at just the prophecies of the Bible, you know that it wasn't just a man who wrote that. It was God who wrote that. How could someone predict thou Christ will be born in Bethlehem of Judea 500 years before Jesus is born? How can someone predict you're going to be nailed on the cross in Psalm 22 before crucifixion was even invented 1,000 years before Jesus appeared? How could Daniel prophesy that the Messiah was going to come at a specific time in Daniel chapter 9? And that's exactly when Jesus came. That is one person that they're talking about, Jesus Christ and one God. Listen, the Bible says the unfolding of God's word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. It is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. Every word of the Lord is flawless. All the words of God are true. His word cleanses. His word comforts. His word corrects. His word sustains. His word sanctifies. And his word saves us. Hallelujah. You can't say that about the Quran. You can't say that about the Vine. You can't say that about any other sacred book. They do not have the words of eternal life. Coexist? Go ahead, try. But the Bible is always going to come out alive because the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. God's word is living and active. It is alive. Jesus said, my words, they will not pass away. Heaven and earth can pass away, but my words will never pass away. So what about this Jesus? We've already seen the lodge. We've seen the leader, worshipful master. But what about the Lord of the lodge? Is it Jesus? Who is the Jesus of Freemasonry? Remember, we go back to Bayonne, we look at their own definition. It says Freemasonry believes in a supreme being. Pastor Jim Nations, he said, I decided to join the Masons when I was 23 years old. My father was a Mason, and it had been in our family for many generations. I petitioned the local lodge, and the first question they asked on the petition was, do you believe in God? That's a nice question, isn't it? Do you believe in God? He said yes to the question, and he felt much better about joining this highly secretive organization. Well, they must believe in God, so it's okay for me to join. Even though they have this weird stuff going on and it's secretive, they asked me the question if I believe in God, so they must believe in God, so of course I should join this organization. I was accepted. I was told that Freemasonry was a Christian organization. I took their word for it, as so many people do with many things in life, which can be very dangerous. So he became a part of this. Do you believe in God? Oh, yeah, sure. I believe in God. Well, it says a supreme being. Can somebody say a? A supreme being. Not the supreme being, but a supreme being. So who is the God that they worship besides the worshipful master who's got this G over his head when you walk in there and you bow down to? Who else is it? Well, the Maryland Master Mason magazine offered a glimpse into the name of the Freemason supreme being. It says, all prayers, quote, all prayers in Mason lodges should be directed to the one deity, to whom all Masons refer to as the grand architect of the universe, G-A-O-T-U. That is the God of gods in their mind. That's who they worship. Yet again, another contradiction, because when you walk in there, you could bring in your God. You could bring in the God of Hinduism or Islam or whatever you want to bring in there. So they just put it all together. And what do they think about Jesus? Freemasonry teaches that Jesus was only a mortal teacher. He was no better than Buddha, no better than Confucius, Moses, or Muhammad. They deny that Jesus was the light of the world and claim that Freemasonry is the true light of all humanity. I was watching one post and one commercial, and this woman was on there, and she says, you know, come on in. We don't make Jesus the central figure because we don't want to offend anybody. So we invite all your gods to come in to the Freemason. You can come in there, come on the lodge, bring your God in there, and we'll have a hoedown. Everybody will be dancing. They don't make Jesus the central figure. In one of their books, they mutilate the word of God, and the mutilation consists in the omission of the name of Jesus Christ. In one of their famed manuals, Mackey's Masonic Ritualist, the name of Jesus is omitted from 1 Peter 2:5, from 2 Thessalonians 3:6, and from 2 Thessalonians 3:12. With a reference to the omission of the Savior's name from 1 Peter 2:5, the following explanation is given, quote, the passages are taken with small but necessary modifications from the first epistle of Peter. God says you do not take away from my word and you do not add to my word. The fact that they are taking things out and especially taking the name of the one who is God of gods and Lord of lords and King of kings, boy, oh boy, I hate to be that person when they stand before the Lord on judgment day and God looks at him in the face and says, who gave you the right to take my son's name out of my book? Woo! Wow. They take the name of Jesus out at liberty. Why? So that they can appease other religions. Well, let me tell you something. God's not about appeasing other religions. He is the one and only religion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His name alone is to be glorified. His son, Jesus Christ, is to be magnified and amplified. Hallelujah and honored. God came down to bring separation. Don't think that I came to bring peace. Jesus said, I came to bring a sword. And there's going to be division even in your own household. There was division in my household. I gave my life to Jesus. And you know what they thought? This boy went bonkers. His shed's missing a few tools. You know what it says in the Gospels? You know, it complains about the apostles. These have come to turn the world upside down. No. They were turning the world right side up. They just didn't want to acknowledge the truth. That's the whole problem When you have truth put in your face, you have one of two options. You can reject the truth or accept the truth. And those who reject the truth have to figure out a way to keep on rejecting it and come up with some way to do it. They deny God. They want to purge him, as Romans chapter 1 says. They don't want to retain the thought of God even in their thoughts. That's what this world is all about. Paul Washer said, "We live in an age of humanism. Over the last several decades, man has fought to purge God from his conscience and culture. He has managed to make himself the center of all things." Can I repeat that? We live in an age of humanism. Over the last several decades, man has fought to purge God from his conscience and culture. He has managed to make himself the center of all things. This is where we're headed to again. Jesus said, "As it was in the days of Noah and as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man." In the days of Noah and the days of Lot, you know what they did? They did not want to retain God in their minds. They pushed God out of the way as much as they could. They did evil all the time, God said. And as a result of that, with all the corruption that went on, judgment came down on those places. The Bible puts Jesus as the central figure of it all. All the scriptures were written. Why? For one purpose and one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. From Genesis to the Revelation, it's all about Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation, there is the scarlet thread of salvation that God is trying to get across to the people. It's all about Jesus. You can't leave Jesus. You cannot exclude Jesus. You cannot omit Jesus. No matter how they try, Jesus is Lord of Lord. In the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verse 2, it says this, "And I saw," John saw, "in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, a lamb standing." Hallelujah. In the midst of heaven right now, there is the lamb, hallelujah, that is standing. Then it says in Revelation 7:17, "The lamb which was in the midst of the throne of heaven shall be their shepherd and their guide and the fountains of living life, and God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes." God is in the midst of the throne of heaven. Is he in the midst of your life? Is he central to your life? Or is he pushed back somewhere? Is he pushed back and maybe I'll think about Jesus when I have time to think about Jesus? Is he the central focus when you wake up in the morning? Are you saying, "Lord, thank you for this day that you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Lord, for waking me up. Thank you for giving me another opportunity to share you with a lost world." When you wake up and when you go about your work day, are you thinking about Jesus? "Lord, give me success as I go forward and as I work. I want you to bless me so that I can be a blessing to others." Is Jesus the central focus of your life? Oh, I got a little loud there. Because if he's not the central focus of your life here, guess what? He's going to be the central focus of all heaven when you get up there. And you might as well get used to it down here, because this is just a practice. Because when we get up there, it's going to be eternally before the Father. Our attention, our heart, our life, all that we do, our job, our work, our school, everything that we do, we have to pray, "Lord, how is it that you want to use me so that I can be effective for you and for your glory? I want to lift up Jesus. I want to kneel before the one who is true, the true worshipful master." Amen? Amen. He is at the center of it all. The Bible says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. When he came down to earth, he was the image and is the image of the invisible God. Paul said that he was God manifest in the flesh. Jesus' own claim says, "Anyone who has seen me, they have seen the Father." You want a glimpse at God? Jesus says, "Look at me." You want to see God's heart? Look at me. Look at my heart. You want to see God cry? Well, then go to Lazarus's tomb, and there you're going to see God's weep. You want to see God cry? Go to Gethsemane, and you will see strong tears being poured out for lost humanity. You want to see God cry? Just look into the scriptures. Look at Jesus. You want to see the compassion of God? Go look at Jesus. Look how many people Jesus touched. You want to see the mercy of God? Look at Yeshua. Look at Jesus Christ. You want to get a picture of God? Then you need to get into this book. You need to get into the Gospels. You need to read about Jesus Christ. So many people have an opinion about Jesus, but they've never read the book.
Well, I think Jesus was this way.
Well, how do you base that?
Well, I don't know. That's what I've been told.
No, no, don't. Go to the Word. Amen. Go to the source. Amen? Amen. I think it's said that there's two copies of the Bible in every household. What's this? Oh, it's the Word of God. Hallelujah. Jesus. You got to get into the Word. Amen. How can you... Oh, listen, it's God's love letter to you. Some of you, when you were courting, when you were dating, when you're young, there'd be these little love letters that you'd be sending back and forth to each other. And in those love letters, you were getting to know that other person deeper through these letters. You'd read and you'd say, wow, this person really loves me. And you know, like I know, I wasn't deserving of love like that. How could a person love me like that? Oh my goodness. When you get into the scriptures, you get into the gospels, and you read about Jesus and how much he loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God demonstrated his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ went to the cross to die for us. Come on. A love letter from heaven directed right to your heart. Amen. Why wouldn't you pick it up? Lord. Jesus says, I and the Father are one. Before Abraham was, he used the name I am that I am. Boy, that made the Jewish people mad. Why? Because Jesus is saying, I'm God. I am the Christ, I am the Messiah, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the good shepherd, I am the Son of God, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am not a supreme being, I am the supreme being. Wow, what a big difference. I think I got to get to the lodge and start preaching in there. Just make my way in that door and just start talking about Jesus. And there's some, sadly, some who are pastors who are part of Masonic lodges. There are some pastors who bring their Bible to the Masonic lodge and place it next to the other books, the other sacred books. And there's some pastors who, when there's a prayer going, they will not say the name of Jesus, but they'll stand there. And one pastor said, I have one of three options: to tell them that they're all wrong, to tell them that they're worshiping different gods, or to sit there and just be a part of this. And he says, I opt for number three, to just sit there and be a part of it. You cannot be a Christian. One of the websites, Masonic Lodge websites, said, is Freemasonry anti-Christian? Big bold letters, no exclamation point. No, we erase that. We say, yes, exclamation point. It is utterly anti-Christian. It is anti-Christ. And we need to tell these poor folks the truth about what they're involved in. We need to tell them, if they don't already know the secrets that are happening, that it's been exposed, that God is God alone, and you don't kneel down to a worshipful master with a big G behind his head. You kneel down to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For there is no salvation from anyone else, because there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is only one name, only, and it is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And you stand up, please. Father, we thank you for bringing us into the truth. Thank you for the true light of the world, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we're praying today that by the Holy Spirit, you would reach down and that you would touch those that are in darkness. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, ye were darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Father, we were darkness before we came to know Jesus. I was in darkness before I came to know Jesus. And Lord, I'm praying right now, we're praying together corporately, that you would begin to move upon individuals who are in darkness right now. Lord God, those that are in Freemasonry, we pray that they would hear this word. Lord God, that you would plant the seed of truth into their hearts. Lord God, that you would use us, Lord God, to minister to folks like that. But Lord, there's so many that are in darkness. You don't have to be a part of the Freemasons to be in darkness. Lord, we were all in darkness as you said it. But Lord, you came to give light. And Lord, we thank you for the light of your word. We thank you for the light of Jesus Christ, the true light who has come into this world. And Lord, thank you for allowing your light to shine in our hearts and upon our minds. And Father, we ask for that light to continue to shine right now in Jesus' name, even here. Lord, if there's some in this place who are in darkness, then Lord, we pray that right now they would call upon the name of the Lord, for there is no other name whereby we can be saved except by the name of Jesus Christ. And your word says, whoever calls, whoever, man, boy, young, old, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that you, God, have raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. So simple, Lord. No works. It's all you. Lord, we thank you for that. We give you the praise. Lord, now begin to minister through your Spirit, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name. If you have to leave, please do so quietly. We're going to be having communion in just a few moments. We're going to ask you to just examine your hearts. Allow the Holy Spirit to just examine your hearts. I'm going to ask both Claire and George to come up and pass the elements now. And if you have to go, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, the Lord be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you, and the Lord grant you shalom in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Amen.